And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez. And he's joined by music critic Joshua Cosman and technical editor Kara Pace.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Damian, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely overcast weekend. And we also hope for a little rain soon. I know I do in Alameda. But anyway, we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time and join us here on our quiz program. The two phone numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. It's always great to call in early. We had, was it Bill and Melissa, or Melissa and Bill? I think they were the last caller last week, and we weren't able to take their question. I don't like doing that. So Bill and Melissa, please call in soon, and then we'll get that question on today, okay? We really don't like missing out on our callers' calls. Anyway, also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Since I am on Zoom, I probably your email might pop up in front of me, but generally they don't get read during the show. But it's always great to hear from our listeners. So if you have any comments or complaints or whatever, feel free to do that, or a combination of the above. And of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, all you have to do is listen to kalw.org, where the live stream is going on, or of course, turn on your radio. And if you would like to hear the podcast, it should be up reasonably soon after our show tonight. Thanks to Damian, and that will be at kalw.org, and hopefully a lot of other places as well. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introductions, and then a round of questions, and Kara, as usual, is short and sweet. Okay, Kara Pace, officially recognized fall this weekend with homemade noodle soup.
That's true. It was delicious. It cured many of my ills, sadly, not all of them. No. Joshua Cosman spent this sunny, brisk Sunday afternoon uncharacteristically clad in socks and sandals. Nonetheless, he did not develop a European accent.
And at our moderator Dana Rodriguez's house, you could eat off the floor, but probably only once.
All right. And that is it. And we'll begin the questioning with Kara Pace.
Do you eat off your floor?
No, because I want to live a little bit longer.
That's fair. So I've done this type of question before. I'm going to do it again. It's a list question. I'm going to give you a MacGuffin. I want you to tell me the movie that it's from. So get ready to write, because I have several. So the first one is A Persian Rug. The next is The Green Destiny Sword. The next is an emerald called El Corazon. The next is Alice's Glove. Then we have a weapon called the Rabbit's Foot. The next one is Doug, D-O-U-G. Next is a cigarette lighter monogrammed A-2-G. Next is a tie pin with the initial R inset with diamonds. The next one is a can of energy drink called Chernobyl, C-H-E-R-N-O-B-L-Y. And though I doubt anyone would get it, but you would be my best friend if you did, the X-5 bioweapon. So we have, again, a Persian rug, the Green Destiny Sword, an emerald called El Corazon, Alice's Glove, a weapon called the Rabbit's Foot, Doug, a cigarette lighter monogrammed A to G, a tie pin with the initial R inset with diamonds, a can of energy drink called Chernobyl, and the X5 bioweapon. Do you recognize any of those?
Not a one.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm gonna jump in because almost none. A monogrammed cigarette. I have a vague feeling that there's a monogrammed cigarette lighter that figures in The English Patient.
There may be, but it's not this.
It's not really like a MacGuffin as such. But all right, then I got.
And
nothing.
It's this one is monogrammed A to G. I don't know if that makes a difference.
I don't know what The English Patient's real name is. I can't remember these things. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Dana probably knows some of these.
Yeah, some of them. The A to G lighter, that's Strangers on a Train, isn't it?
It is Strangers on a Train.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
So that's the lighter that's Guy's lighter that he gives to Anthony. And Anthony keeps and plants at the scene of a murder. So yeah.
Is that what he's going for under the carousel?
Exactly. Yeah. Because okay. He goes back to try to plant the lighter toward the end of the movie.
Right.
So Alice's glove. The only thing I could think of on that is this from Gaslight?
It's not from Gaslight.
Okay. All right. All right. Then the only other one that I might know is the X5 bioweapon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that anything to do with Beavis and Butthead?
Is Beavis and Butthead to America? Why do you know that? That's awesome.
I just recall seeing that for some reason. They had an X5 unit or an X5, like it was a secret weapon thing, a special agency that they were involved with. But that's all I mean... Yeah, I saw the movie. That was in the movie, right?
Or was it in the movie, yeah. Beavis and Butthead do America.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, yes. All right. That I got.
Nice sort of. Job.
Thank you. And why don't you go over the other ones again, please?
All right. The ones that are left are a Persian rug, the green destiny sword, an emerald called El Corazon, Alice's glove, a weapon called the rabbit's foot, Doug, a tie pin with the initial R inset with diamonds, and a can of energy drink called Chernobyl.
I don't know those. Okay, and Josh, you go ahead, please.
All right. Well, I've got a long list question, but I'll hold that off for a little bit so we don't do them back to back. This is a question that I'm borrowing from my friend Yossi Fendel of Berkeley. Credit to Yossi. What is the most populous city in California whose name does not come from Spanish? The most populous Californian city whose name is not derived from the Spanish.
Oakland?
No, that is a good guess. It is second to most.
How about Anaheim?
Anaheim is fourth on the list of non-Hispanic names. It's actually interesting. The top six are all from Spanish, and then 7 through 12 are all Anglo.
So if you told us the language that it came from, would that give it away quite easily?
No, 7 through 12, as I say, are all basically English.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, Oakland, of those six, Oakland is number two and Anaheim is number four. But we're looking for the top one. If you spot some of the others, you know, good on you.
Bakersfield.
That was my first guess. That's number three on the Anglo six.
Okay. I have no idea. Like, I have no concept of how populous the various Southern California cities are. Like, is it going to be something like Beverly Hills? I can't imagine Beverly Hills has more than Bakersfield or anything.
No, it is not.
Culver City. I don't know.
All right. Why don't you repeat that?
So the question is, what is the most populous city in California whose name does not derive from Spanish? The first, as I said, the top six are all Spanish names. And then the next six are all from English. Dana and Kira guessed Oakland, Bakersfield, Anaheim, which is 2, 3, 4 on that list of six, but still looking for number one.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, I am. Hi. This is Fran, San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hiya. I have, my first question is, oh, goodness, here it is. I want to know, there's a character named Sally Rogers in a sitcom. I want to know who played her. Mm-hmm. Sally Rogers.
You know that, Josh?
I'm pretty sure that's, isn't that Rosemary on the Dick Van Dyke show?
Yes.
Yep.
Correct. Very good. Now I have two Dick Van Dyke questions. In 1961, it was down to two people to get the role of Rob. It was Dick Van Dyke was one of them, and there was another person you know well who did not get the role. Do you know who that person was?
Well, the only two people I can think of, Carl Reiner, of course, invented it, and he did the pilot. So I guess that's a possibility. And then Johnny Carson, I think.
Yes, you're correct.
Was the other one. Yeah.
Johnny Carson.
They were going to give Johnny Carson
the lead
role in the Dick Van Dyke show?
Yeah, they were, but Dick Van Dyke had Bye Bye Birdie, so they used him. But Carson's show didn't begin until 1962.
Right.
And he was up for that. My last question is, what is the name of Rainn Wilson's character in The Office?
Dwight Schrute.
Yes, off you get three bells. Excellent. That's it.
All right, thank you, Fran.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. All right, let me give you a couple questions here. Let's see. The two oldest European national languages, sort of what I'm looking for here, and I'm gonna cut the question in half, but in a second. But what are the two oldest national European languages that have the same name as their country? Now, of course, you're all going to guess Greek. That would be one of them, one of the oldest. So I'm going to just eliminate that. There's a national language in Europe that is even older than Greek that has the same name as the country. What is that?
And we're not talking about like the Basque Republic or anything like that.
No, this is a formal country.
So you're saying Greek is the second oldest, and what is the actual oldest?
Greek is the second oldest. Yes, that probably would have been a better way to phrase the question. Greek is the second oldest European language in which the name of the language is the same name as a country. What is the oldest?
I mean, surely is this going to be one of those languages that has like old, middle, new? Like Germanic, like it's not the same.
Right.
German.
I understand. Okay. I understand what you're saying. Well, let's see. What can I say about that? The language is older than the existence of the country. Okay. And the language brought in over its history pieces of other languages. But the language itself began before Greek. So
by definition, then, before any of those countries were countries, right?
Yes, you could say that. But the name of the language is the same name as the country.
As the country is now.
Yes.
Huh. I have no idea how old the Finno-Ugric languages are, so I'm just going to guess Hungarian.
That's a perfectly good guess. But, let's see. No, it's not. Well, it's not Hungarian.
How about Finnish, then?
Is not Finnish.
Okay.
So once more, what is the oldest existing European national language? It's spoken mostly in a country with the same name, but it predates that.
So we can take out all the Romance languages because there's because none of the Latinate languages are older than Greek. So what's that leave, Josh? Just Slavic?
You can't because there are a few elements of Romance language in this language that it brought in. It's a bit of a bastard language because there's a little Latin and there's a little Greek in it. But
So how I guess I'm wondering when you're dating Greek from. I mean, sort of.
No, I'm just saying along the history of this language, it brought in some elements.
Greek is very old.
Greek is 2,900 years the old that I have.
Anyway. Oh, all right. That's.
And this is older.
Okay.
All right. Think about that.
Right.
And then I'll give you another question.
Good.
Who was the first non-American woman on a United States postage stamp?
The first
non-American woman to be on a U.S. postage stamp.
Mary Curie?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good guess. No.
And when we say non-American, are we talking citizenship? Like, will Native Americans count?
No, not Native American. Okay. Nobody was given honorary citizenship, nothing like that.
Okay.
Somebody who never set foot in America or in the United States that I know of.
And okay, so this is a real person, though. This is not a mythological character.
Pocahontas.
No. Well, they set foot in the United States.
Pocahontas?
Yeah. Pocahontas in the Americas.
Well, that's different.
Well, okay.
In the Americas, America. Were here long before the United States.
Right. Yeah. I just asked that question, though, and he says that he is not including Native Americans.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have spaced out.
No, I'm including Native Americans.
Sorry.
I'm including everybody that lived in the Americas, okay? Mm-hmm. And this person never lived in the Americas or visited the Americas.
Got it.
So again, who was the first non-American person, never visited the Americas in any way, to be on be on a U.S. postage stamp.
Don't know. I have to think about that. I spaced out because I was still thinking about the languages. Is the answer to your question Maltese?
That's a good guess. No, not Maltese.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know how old Maltese is. But
I don't either, but it's Semitic, so it's, you know.
No, that's true. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Sparky and Maddie, and we got rain here in Connecticut. How are you all doing?
Good. Good. We're expecting rain.
Yeah, okay. Your last question, Dana, how about Queen Isabella?
Queen Isabella is correct.
Nice.
Good.
You know, this is the kind of weekend to ask for it. Largest non-Spanish sounding city, how about Orange?
Ooh, good guess, but not correct, I'm afraid.
Okay. And language, Dana, how about Icelandic?
Also a good guess, but no.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go out on a good note. The energy drink, Kira, that is from Hot Tub Time Machine.
It is. It does. It powers the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Correct. You have to go in and send you elsewhere.
All right, good.
Okay.
Oh, that's a bell. Yeah.
Okay, we're done. Thanks, we'll hear you again. Good night.
Good night.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Feel free to give us a call. Try to do it as soon as you can if you have a question or answer in mind. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosman, music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And let's go to Kira, your turn.
All right. A 1975 biopic about a late 19th century trapper and hunter named Dersu Uzala earned the Soviet Union its second Oscar for Best Foreign Film. Who directed it?
I saw that. Who directed that? Are you asking this question because this person...
I'm asking this question purely because it's interesting, at least to me.
Am I right in thinking that it's not? It's someone who is not, in fact, Russian?
That is correct.
It's like it's Kurosawa, isn't it?
It is Kurosawa.
I've always thought of it as a Kurosawa title, but I didn't know there was a Russian connection because I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, he made it for the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a joint. It's a Russo-Japanese film, I think is how it is described.
All right.
George Lucas was heavily inspired, directly inspired, in fact, by the character when he was creating Yoda. So another Kurosawa George Lucas connection.
So Kurosawa's career has not been in vain.
All right, Kira, since we answered that, do you want to ask one more?
Sure, I have a few of these left where I will give you a short description of food items named for people and you tell me the name of the item, and I have three. So the first one is also called shepherd's pie or cottage pie. It is a minced meat pie encrusted in mashed potato and named for the Frenchman who heavily promoted the potato as a food source in the 18th century. The next one, much shorter, a Sichuan chicken and peanut dish named for an official of the late Qing dynasty. And the third is a Swedish domed tort made of alternating layers of sponge cake and whipped cream, topped with a sheet of marzipan and named for Margarita of Denmark, Martha of Norway, and Astrid of Belgium.
So the last one, does that imply that it's three something or it's
three queens cake?
Three queens cake.
I don't know that they were all queens.
Oh, three ladies.
Three princesses?
Closer. There's no number in it. That's princess cake.
Mm. Princess cake. Okay.
Yes, which is delicious.
This is pretty.
Yeah, there's a Swedish restaurant by the opera house called Play, and they serve princess cake, and it's fantastic.
Ooh, the Sichuan dish is every cruciverbalist's favorite dish, which is General Tso's chicken.
Incorrect.
It is not General Tso's chicken.
No. Okay. General Tso's chicken, I think, is
peanuts in it. No.
Yeah, there's no peanuts.
All right.
It's more of a fried thing in a, I don't remember what makes their thing. I think it's just supposed to be a spicy Sichuan sauce.
Okay. Just go over the first two once more.
Okay. Also called shepherd's pie or cottage pie. It's a minced meat pie encrusted in mashed potato and named for the Frenchman who heavily promoted the potato as a food source in the 18th century. The next one is a Sichuan chicken and peanut dish named for an official of the late Qing dynasty.
All right.
I don't know.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Sandra and Danny in Albany.
Hi.
Hi, we've each got some ideas, some answer ideas, and a quick question. The oldest European language, okay, if we are to believe Robert Graves, the Pelasgians were in the Attic Peninsula before the Achaean Greeks who spoke Greek, and they marched north overland and ended up in Denmark, so I'm going to say Danish.
No, I like your historical references, but no, not that.
Oh, darn. But it sounded so good. Okay, how about the largest California city, not Spanish? Is it Long Beach?
It is Long Beach. Well done.
Oh, there you
Take
go.
A bell.
Good job.
Yay!
Good job.
Is the chicken dish named after a person, Kung Pao chickens?
It is Kung Pao chicken. Very nice.
All right, well, that's a bell. Over to Sandra.
No, I have a guess. The Green Emerald. Is that Romancing the Stone?
It is Romancing the Stone. Very nice.
Oh, my goodness. We're on a roll.
Are we getting
indeed.
Bells? Yeah, there's some bells in there somewhere. Okay, one really quick question. This is one I tried to sneak in last week, but it was too late. This is in fond memory of our baseball season. In 1951, Willie Mays debuted with the New York Giants. 2 years later, in 1953, Mario Picone pitched for the Giants, and while Picone never appeared on the field with Willie Mays, the two are uniquely linked in team history. Why? Dead silence.
Yeah, it's not...
Hello? Is this thing on?
this is one of my favorite little pop culture effects.
Does it actually have anything to do with baseball?
I will tell you because it's just so cute.
Do you want to give them a hint?
It has to do with their jerseys.
Oh,
are they both 42s? I'm sorry, that's Jackie Robinson. Please don't tell me I'm wrong there. Sorry. Do they both have the same jersey number?
That's right. Pacone was the last Giant other than Mays to wear jersey number 24. And he wore it while Mays served his year in the Army. And when Mays came back, he got it back. And then, of course, nobody else wore it after that. So that's that.
Got it.
That's it.
All right.
That's all we got.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And Josh, I think it's your turn.
Okay. This is a classical music question. I'm going to give you, I've got a list of symphonies that have names or nicknames or subtitles or titles. In other words, symphonies that are not just, you know, symphony number 5. I'll give you the title or the subtitle or the nickname, and you tell me the composer. All right. Winter Daydreams, Sinfonia Antarctica, The Inextinguishable, The Philosopher, The Scottish Symphony, The Gaelic Symphony, The Gothic Symphony, The Year 1917, and finally, Mount St. Helens. So these are all names or titles or subtitles or nicknames of prominently, reasonably well-known symphonies. Winter Daydreams, Sinfonia Antarctica, The Inextinguishable, The Philosopher, Scottish Symphony, Gaelic Symphony, Gothic Symphony, The Year 1917, and Mount St. Helens. All I ask is the composer.
Kira, do you want to start with any of these?
The Scottish Symphony, also known as the Hebrides or something?
It's connected to the Hebrides.
Is it Schubert?
No.
Mendelssohn.
That's right. Well okay. done.
Good job.
Kira,
the Winter Daydreams, that's Tchaikovsky first.
Correct.
The Mount St. Helens, is that Hovhannes?
Yes, exactly. Well done.
And the Sinfonia Antarctica, that's Ray Vaughan Williams, right?
That is correct.
That's the one he did for, that's the one that he did the film score for, Scott of the Antarctic.
Exactly right.
And good. 1917, that's Shostakovich.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Good. You guys did well on that. So leaving out for others who are listening, looking for the composers of these symphonies, The Inextinguishable, The Philosopher, Gaelic Symphony, and Gothic Symphony.
All right. Take that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Gene from New York.
Hi.
Well, you guys took my other answer is Long Beach, Kurosawa. For the oldest European languages, what about Irish?
Ooh, good guess. No, not, well, I mean, it would be,
Gaelic Irish, but no, it's
not it.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Last week, I called and asked you to name my favorite actresses by their love interests in the movie, and today I'm going to ask you three favorite actors. I'm going to give you their love interests in the movies. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one probably is easy, at least for you, Dana. Lana Turner, Joan Crawford, Jennifer Jones.
Lana Turner, Joan Crawford, Jennifer Jones. So you're looking for the actor.
Right. So I didn't see the one with Jennifer Jones, so I hope I'm not wrong on that she's a love interest. But
Could this be Van Heflin? Because he goes with all of those.
Maybe, but it's not the one I have. Let's see. I can give you another actress for that one. Lily Palmer.
Oh, that's interesting.
Lily Palmer, Joan Crawford, Lana Turner, Jennifer Jones.
Lily Palmer.
I'll give you a hint. He died young.
He died young.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gosh, John Garfield.
Yes. No. Yes. You're right. You're right. You're right, Josh.
Yes. John Garfield, is it?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
I don't know any of his love interests, but yes. I know he died young.
Yeah, the Lily Palmer one is, yes, I should have got, that's body and soul, right? Yeah. Right.
And who's the female lead in The Postman Always Rings Twice?
That's Lana Turner.
Okay.
And then Crawford is humoresque, and Jennifer Jones is, what is that? Which one? That's the one about the Cuban Revolution. We Were Strangers.
Yeah. We Were Strangers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. And then the next one, Myrna Loy, Carol Lombard, Hedy Lamarr.
It's just William Powell, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to say just. I mean...
No.
It's the obvious answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the first one was harder, so maybe the second one's easier. Yeah. I don't know about the third one. Might be easier or not. I'm not sure. Marlene Dietrich, Kay Francis, and Merle Oberon.
It could be Herbert Marshall.
It is Herbert Marshall.
Okay. All right.
Very good. You've guessed my three favorite actors. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. The trouble is, some of these actors, you know, that there was more than one that acted as a leading man for all those people. But thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Let me do a question here. So, there are 7 U.S. states in which the state university is the largest single employer in that state.
Mm.
What are the 7 U.S. states where the state university is the largest single employer in that state?
So, I mean, it seems as though this would be a hard trick to pull off unless there was not much other industry. So
no, not necessarily. That I don't necessarily assume that.
Okay.
So you don't mean by money, you mean by like number of people though, right?
Number of employees, yes.
Like Microsoft makes a ton of money, but maybe the University of Washington has lots of branches or something.
Right. But it's not, Washington's not one of them anyway. No. But yes.
Just strategically, are we looking for massive prominent university systems or states where nothing else is going on?
I would say you should not assume that states where nothing else is going on, but you should assume that they have very large university systems. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
California, a big university system with several campuses spread all over the state.
Like, for example, California?
Yeah, but not California.
Okay. About Michigan.
Mm.
Michigan is one of them. Yes. Yes. Michigan is one.
Go blue. Same general area. What about Illinois?
Not Illinois.
Okay.
Mm. So there are 7 U.S. states where the state university is the largest single employer in that state. And so far we have Michigan.
And I'm going to go the other way with it.
They're spread out. They're spread out over the country, just so you know.
Okay. What about Vermont?
No.
Okay.
What about Massachusetts?
No.
Okay.
And since we're about halfway through, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
So I've given you some MacGuffins, and I just want to know the movies that they're from. The ones I have left are A Persian Rug, The Green Destiny Sword, Alice's Glove, A Weapon Called the Rabbit's Foot, Doug, and a tie pin with the initial R inset with diamonds. Also, I have to scroll up for this. There we go. I have a short description of a food item named for a person. I just want to know the name of the item. And that description is also called shepherd's pie or cottage pie. It's a minced meat pie encrusted in mashed potato, named for the Frenchman who heavily promoted the potato as a food source in the 18th century.
The shepherd's pie one, and you never hear this name because they always call it shepherd's pie unless you go into a restaurant. And sometimes they'll call it something like parmentier. Is it parmentier?
Yeah, that is correct. Okay. Achis parmentier or whatever.
But they never call it that otherwise.
I think maybe in a French restaurant they would.
Yeah,
they
maybe.
Served it there. Yeah. That is correct. So that's a bell.
All right. And I'm sorry, Josh, go ahead.
I'm looking for the composers of the symphonies with the following nicknames or subtitles or titles. The Inextinguishable, The Philosopher, Gaelic Symphony, and Gothic Symphony.
All right. And the two oldest existing European national languages are Greek and what else? The other one on this list is older than Greek, and it shares the name with the country in which it's primarily spoken. Second question, what are the 7 U.S. states where the state university is the single largest employer in that state? So far we have Michigan, which Kira got. What are the other of the 7 states where the state university is the largest single employer in that state? And I'm going to throw in, go ahead, Kira.
On the language question, just so I can get all the Western and Central European stuff out of the way, I don't think it is, but German.
No, not German.
Okay. I think the answer is going to be Slavic, somewhere in the Slavic family. I'm done. Sorry.
I'm going to throw in one. No, it's okay. I'm going to throw in one quick little language question for you. What is the oldest language still actively spoken in the world? It does not have the same name as the country in which it is spoken, but it is a well-known language. What is the oldest language still actively spoken? It's over 5,000 years old. And it's a large population of people that speak this.
What about Hindi?
No, but you are in the general.
I was going to say Sanskrit, area. But I don't know whether that's spoken.
It's not Sanskrit. But Kira was in the general geographic area.
Right.
Yeah. Overall.
Is it Urdu?
It is not Urdu.
Bengali?
Nope. So what is the oldest language still actively spoken? It does not share the name with a country in which it's primarily spoken. Yes, Tamil is correct.
Really?
Yes, Tamil is correct. Very good. Over 5,000 years old. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hi. Before everybody starts complaining how cold the rain is, a question about the heat wave they had in Portland this summer. What was the hottest temperature is recorded there?
It's not like 108 or something like that.
Not exactly.
So, I'm sorry, the question was, what was the hottest temperature before the heat wave that they had?
No, during.
Oh, during the heat wave, I'm sorry. I think, Kira's pretty close to it, I think. I'll say 112.
You guys are way too low.
Way too low?
In a sense, Kira had the right digit, so I'll tell you that.
So, 180?
Yes, that's right. And what were the 4 protective things? Because this was in one of the poorest neighborhoods. What were the 4 protective things in the other neighborhoods that they did not get as hot?
Well, you mean they, for instance, they had more trees or something like that?
That's one.
Less asphalt, less paving.
Yes, less asphalt is it specifically. Yeah.
Okay. They had air conditioning?
Well, outside, the outdoor temperature.
All right. They had pools?
You know, I didn't think of that, but it, well, I don't know. It wasn't mentioned. I'll tell you the other two if you like.
Right. Yeah.
It was fewer high-rise buildings, and they were all farther away from the interstate.
Oh, all right. Mm. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. If you would like to join us, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Hayes, San Francisco.
Hi, Hayes.
The language, the oldest languages, would it be Albanian by any chance?
No.
The other one that I would think of would be Lithuanian.
Lithuanian is correct.
Yes. Oh, okay. I knew it was one or the other because I remember that.
Very good, yes. Ago. Lithuanian is the oldest existing European language.
Okie doke. And I've got a question for you. Units of measurement, metric and imperial. You probably remember a while back that there was a horrible occurrence when they got mixed up by scientists and they caused the problem. Do you remember what that was?
I think there were a few. This is, are you talking about like this one was nuclear or was this space shuttle?
It wasn't a space shuttle. It was a space thing, though.
It was okay, not shuttle, right. It was it Apollo?
It was a Mars climate orbiter. It didn't have people on board, luckily.
Okay.
But it messed up because of that. But on that note, where did the two units of measurement mix to this day, and you probably come across it on a daily basis, seamlessly, nobody seems to notice, and it doesn't have any effect in the way of safety. In what form does that happen?
At negative 40 degrees?
Miles per hour when you're driving.
Oh, driving. You're close. You got something going on there.
Hmm. I don't know. No.
I'm sorry. I don't understand the question. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, it's an occurrence where both metric and imperial systems are used for a single item, and it works, and no problem. And in fact, most people don't even realize.
Hmm.
Do you want the answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Car tires.
Well, I was about to say, but pounds per square, I mean, pounds an inch or pounds per square inch of inflation?
No, what it is, you know, on the side of a tire, you see, for instance, P215-65R15. Well, P215 is 215 millimeters, but the R15 is R15 inches. So it's two different measurements on the side of the tire.
Interesting. I would never have known.
Is that because they sell tires in, they would sell the same tire in different places that use these different forms of measurement? Is that?
No, I think what it is because of the width. The width varies a lot more than anything else. And if they started saying it was 5 3/4 or 5 7/8 or 5 15/16, it would get confusing. So they went metric for the width, but for the radius, they went inches, which I found quite unusual when I came across that buying tires a few days ago.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, and by the way, Dana, you confused the hell out of me a few weeks ago when you were flying solo. I came in a little bit late, and I was trying to call in, and then all of a sudden I heard myself on the radio because it was a recording.
That must have been very eerie. Yes.
Yes, it was. I thought, who is that guy? He's really annoying. And I realized it was me.
Yeah, sorry. That was a very last minute thing. So we didn't have much choice in that.
Yeah, but it made me laugh. All right. Well, all right. Good job, guys. Have fun.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay. Who has a short question they'd like to pop in here? Josh, you?
Sure.
All right.
This very short, and you'll probably swat it away. Who were the youngest and oldest people ever to host Saturday Night Live?
Was the youngest Drew Barrymore?
The youngest was Drew Barrymore. Good. Who was the oldest?
Well, Betty White.
Correct. See, right. I knew that would be quick. I knew Betty White, but I hadn't known Drew Barrymore. That's interesting.
All right. That's all I got. Kira, do you have a short question?
Sure. What is the longest, I don't know how to wear this. So there's a country whose capital has the same number of letters as the country name. There are several instances of that, but what is the longest? It's more than 10.
So the country has more than 10 letters. The country has more than 10 letters in its name, and the capital has an equal number of letters in its name.
That is correct.
Okay.
Is it? Oh, no, never mind.
Hmm. Could you tell us in what general part of the world we're looking?
The Eastern Hemisphere. Now I better double check that line does not go through it.
Does the country's name one word?
No.
All right.
Hold on. Oh, it's right on. Gosh darn it. I can't. It's right. It is right near the Eastern-Western Hemisphere split.
All right. Leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, our Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, howdy. Let's see, the Persian rug is the Big Lebowski.
It is the Big Lebowski, that is correct.
That's correct. And the Green Destiny Sword, is that Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yep, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Green Destiny Sword. Movie.
And Alice's glove is the, that's why Ellen Burstyn has to leave Arizona and Alice doesn't live here anymore?
That is incorrect.
No.
So much for your role, sir.
All right, let's see. The state university with the largest employer, how about Alaska?
No.
Longing. No? Okay. No. Or Hawaii?
Hawaii, yes.
Yes. Okay. And then I'll guess Wisconsin. They've got a lot.
Wisconsin is correct as well.
Yay. And how about the Dakotas?
No.
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 Okay. And I think everything else I got was taken. I don't know. South Africa and Johannesburg for the longest capital name.
That is incorrect.
I don't know if they have the same letters. No. Okay. And let's see.
No.
A question I have. I know, like, it seems like about 20 years ago that Elon Musk launched his car into space. There were two books on the car. What were they?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's one of them. Yep.
42 years old, I think. Also science fiction for the other one, right?
Yes, and I should say the other one was a trilogy, which was not technically a paper book, but it was encoded onto a kind of a extremely long-lasting storage system, which is kind of a, said to last over a billion years.
But it started off as a paper book, right?
Yeah, it started off as a paper book, a trilogy. And actually, it's longer, more than a trilogy now, but initially was a very famous trilogy.
It's still The Hitchhiker's Guide. Two copies of The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Was one of them.
That's also a trilogy that ended up in five books.
That's true.
Sci-fi trilogy that ended up with more. Was it something by Arthur C. Clarke? No, that's no trilogies.
No?
Is it going to be something like Ursula Le Guin, whose works I just don't know?
No?
No.
Why don't you tell us?
Another prolific male writer.
Isaac Asimov?
That's correct.
Oh. All right, that was a guess. But is that Foundation? Is that
Yes, yeah, the foundation
okay.
trilogy.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Very good. Thanks. Great show.
Which I've never read. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Here we go. Haydn.
Yes?
The Philosopher Symphony.
That's right.
There you go.
I got it. Hooray.
Good.
Okay.
Well done.
So let me ask, and that same era is when the guy, the French guy labeling the potatoes, which I just learned, I knew that it was Napoleon's favorite food before going to battle, by the way, but I learned something new. Hey, but here's the question for you. What's your name again? The person who answered me. I forget your name.
Joshua.
No, not Joshua. Anyway.
Okay.
Here we go. We were talking about language. What was Exxon before it became Exxon? What you know as Exxon oil?
Right.
What was it called? I remember growing up, you remember the name, and it was a big issue about changing the name from this.
What, wasn't it Esso?
Yes.
And Esso was Standard Oil.
Yeah, they went from Standard Oil, S-O, to Esso, E-S-S-O, and then they changed it to Exxon. Oh, this will be, now here's how why it relates to what you said. When they were exploring way to change the name to Exxon, they looked at countries and said, "What country?" They didn't want to have it being a word of a foreign language, and they found only one other culture that had words that had two X's in a row. What culture had? Has a language with two X's in a row.
Written in English?
Written in English. It has words that have two X's in a row.
Sounds like Albanian to me.
No, but you actually answered it earlier. It was the wrong answer for it.
It Basque?
No, but in that closer. And mm-hmm. this nation is it's because it's in the crossroads of so many cultures.
Including
Arabic.
Maltese. Yeah.
Yes, it is
Maltese. Maltese has double X's.
Yes, it does. And well, it's kind of it's like kind of halfway between here and Europe and as Arabic. And so it was the only culture with two X's in a row. There you go. So
Thank you
got the right answer to the wrong question.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bill from Daly City.
Hi, Bill.
For the inextinguishable, that's Carl Nielsen.
That's correct. Well done.
Good.
Take a bell.
And the Gaelic, is that John Ireland?
No, good guess, but not right.
And what were the other remaining ones?
We're missing just the Gaelic and the Gothic.
Oh, okay.
And the Gothic is fairly obscure. That's not a well-known, not an extremely well-known composer.
Okay, and then for our largest employer university, how about Texas?
That's a good guess, but no, not Texas.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Josh, the Gaelic is by a woman composer, isn't it?
That is correct.
Mary Beach? Or not Mary Beach, it's Beach. But it's
Beach, but her first name is?
Is Sylvia Beach. No, not Sylvia
Beach.
That's Wrong Beach. And
Long Beach. No, it's Amy Beach.
Amy Beach, I'm sorry.
Right. Yes. There you go. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
All right. Good.
For universities, should we be looking at Mississippi?
No, there are no southern states.
All right.
Oh.
Believe it or not, that I can see. No southern states.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dave in San Francisco.
Hi, Dave.
I was going to do Carl Nielsen, but got beaten on that. But I'm going to take a guess at the university being the largest employer is Arizona.
Yes, Arizona. Mm. That's a massive school.
Yeah, my just have some kids teaching there, and gigantic.
Yeah, huge.
Okay, thanks.
Good. Thank you. Yes.
Hi.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, James in San Francisco.
Hi, James.
If I'm not too late, you guys are so wonderfully sophisticated with all of your cinema questions, so I'm going to make a very lowbrow guess. Is Doug from The Hangover?
Doug is from The Hangover.
There you go.
Can I be your Doug?
Throw in a lowbrow question. She's fine with that.
I'll be your Doug. That was very satisfying. Thank you. Great show, guys.
Hooray.
Thank you.
Good job. Glad to hear it.
Good job. Yeah.
So wait, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. Who's Doug again?
He's the guy they go looking for. He's the guy who gets lost, the groom.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Oh, all right. All right. One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
So I have a question.
Very quick. We're almost out of time.
Who is Eric Blair?
That's George Orwell.
That's right. Correct.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Time to clean up here. And Kira, we'll start with you.
Is Montana one of your university states?
It is not.
Okay. In that case, Alice's glove is from the Hitchcock movie Blackmail. A tie pin with the initial R inset with diamonds, that's from Frenzy. So I wanted to throw in a couple MacGuffins from the guy who enjoyed MacGuffins. Kind of originated them. And then a weapon called the Rabbit's Foot is Mission Impossible 3. And the longest country whose name... whose letter count matches its capital city letter count, that is Burkina Faso, whose Ouagadougou is has the same number of letters, 11.
All right. I feel good about not getting that. You know, I almost said, this makes no sense probably to you at all, but I almost said Resident Evil for Alice's glove because she has a big thing of wearing her glove that says something in particular on it, but I don't remember what it says anymore. But I'm glad that wasn't it. Okay. And Josh?
The only thing I have left is the Gothic Symphony, which was by the British composer Havergal Brian. That was the first of his 32 published symphonies.
All right.
And the only one that ever gets played, if that.
The only ones I have left, the 7 U.S. states where the state university is the largest single employer. Let's see, Hawaii, Iowa, Michigan, Nebraska, New Mexico, Arizona, and Wisconsin. So anyway, if we get to your call, I do apologize. My thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their music critic. And I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Of course, my thanks to Damian D. Minor for handling the board and phones. And above all, our big thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. We'll try to do it all over again. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.